This is a psalm I think I have prayed without knowing it. And perhaps you have too. For perhaps you too have tossed and turned in a tangle of sheets with your mind in a twist. Perhaps you too have known those covers on, no, okay, well, how about covers off, fluff and unfluff the pillow and flip it over to the cool underside only to then flip it over again, kind of nights. Nights when you are uncomfortably warm and so you kick free of the blankets only to then feel uncomfortably cold and then pull them back over you. Nights when you lie facing up to start and roll and are on your stomach and roll and are curled and roll and are cramped and roll and are facing up once more and roll this way and that and roll and are awake, are miserably and unrelentingly awake. Maybe it was not really decaf after dinner. Maybe that's what did it. Maybe it was jet lag. Maybe it was the dull racket from next door. Maybe it was your dear beloved snoring. Or maybe it was what you read in the newspaper, what you heard on the radio. Maybe it was a phone call from the doctor's office. Maybe the test results had come in. Maybe something happened at work, and then it happened again and again and again in your mind as you lay in the dark. Maybe it was a bad day you just could not be done with. Maybe there was a hard conversation or a heated argument, and the wounding and harsh words of it repeated and repeated themselves so that you were drawn back into the exchange, were reliving it in your imagination, saying what you might have said, saying what you should have said, saying, oh, what you wish you had said. Some perfect and silencing retort. Or maybe after such a conversation, maybe after such an argument, maybe it was that you were alone on the sofa or in the guest room trying to unsay, if only to yourself, trying to unsay what it was that had pained someone you care for very much. This is a psalm I think I've prayed without knowing it, and perhaps you have too. For perhaps you too have lain in bed longing for the worry or the disappointment or the upset of the day to fade away as you lose yourself in sweeter dreams. But perhaps you too have been held fast in the grip of some if only, or should have, or how could this be, or I just can't believe it, or what do I do now, with the thoughts coming, adamantly coming, one after another coming, intruding against slumber, forbidding you to shut your eyes to the cares of the world. You, like me, may not have had the chapter and the verse of it at hand, but if you have been up, been stubbornly, frustratingly up, surely the inner monologue that is Psalm 4, surely this will have a ring of familiarity. It is the rambling meditation of a fitful sleeper, marked by the agitated, disorderly stream of consciousness fretting and soul-searching and second-guessing that at least I have known from time to time. There are the rehearsals of grievances and wrongs and the indulgent fantasies of do-overs. We catch the psalmist stuck in a mental loop, shaping and practicing the cutting reply it is too late to give. He sweeps away the criticisms and the accusations he had withered under then before with a confidence and an assertiveness now he had not known back in the moment. Lies, he pronounces. Just stupid talk. When will you get a life already? And who of us has not kept ourselves up, putting it to a client or to a classmate or to a colleague or to a crazy relative? There are the unself-conscious pleadings with God, the conscriptions of God to one's own cause that so often come when we are under strain and our theologies become more simplistic. Help me, God. Help me now, just like you helped me before. Remember whose side you're on here. And, well, where are you already? These get at the essence of it. And there are the tender shushings, the calls back to a calmer spirit. I guess I do have a lot to be grateful for. Just think about that. Others have got it far worse off. And there are the coaxings to sleep. Be still. Stop thinking. Just breathe. Peace. Of all the many thoughts that come to us in the late night and which Psalm 4 explores, all the preoccupations and bargaining and fears and memories and unkindnesses and whatnot, it is these coaxings that seem to me most spiritually interesting. More often than not, in my experience anyway, these are whisperings from within that arise unbidden when I am maddeningly fatigued, and the stress of not being able to fall asleep compounds the stress that has kept me awake in the first place. And I find myself almost in need of a reminding how to do it, how to drift off. Stop turning and turning. Just lie there flat. You know you will not fall asleep on your side. And enough thinking about that. No, don't let yourself look at the clock. Don't look at the phone. My coaxing myself is prosaic like this, with a not especially religious quality. But the whisperings that arise from within the psalmist when he cannot sleep, the whisperings are, well, he says, when you are disturbed, he says to himself, when you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your bed and be still. In this he is calling himself and calling us to relate spiritually to the experience of sleeplessness, to claim even those insufferable hours as invitations to a time of holy encounter, to let the soul guide the body to a purer repose. He gently acknowledges the reality that we are likelier than not, at the end of a hard day, that we are going to give ourselves to angry or despairing recollecting, that we are prone to the sort of spinning out that foments distress more than to the centering in which we find peace. Even so, he chides himself lovingly. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your bed and be still. He seems to believe that there is a thinking to ourselves that is deeper than thinking to ourselves, and that a spirit of prayerfulness can make working through all of the mind's confusion, can make of it into something like meditation. I suppose I believe this too. Believe that we can fall asleep Christianly. Believe that how we lie down with loss and heartache and anxiety and trouble, that this is as worthy of consideration as how we live with it and live through it. I suppose I believe that cultivating a mood of reverence as evening comes, asking the one who is God over the night skies opening outwards, star upon star, expanse after expanse, asking that one to guide us further into the inner universe of our souls, ever opening inwards, light upon light, new depth after new depth. I suppose I believe that this can make for a more mindful and restorative sort of reflection than that to which most of us probably naturally incline. And of course, this is no cure for insomnia. Approaching the long night with an expectant hope for the inner peace passing all understanding that comes from closeness with God, this will not work on you like a sleeping pill. But one could do worse. One could do worse than shaping a little evening ritual to put you in a spiritual posture of openness and calm so that you may receive the surprising gifts of the darkness for what they are. Perhaps you might purchase the Book of Common Prayer and read through the Vespers or the Compline services it outlines each night at your bedside or with your kids. Perhaps you might memorize this or some other psalm or hymn so that you can sing it to yourself and pray it to yourself, knowing it more deeply. There's also in your bulletins a poem, though it is an odd structure for a poem. There's a poem by John O'Donohue. It walks through questions and wonderings which might be productive of contemplation and prayer. And in closing now, I would ask you to close your eyes if you would, and quiet your hearts and shut out everything else if you can, and be still. Be in a ponderous spirit and think to yourself in that way that is deeper than thinking to yourself as I read through some of his poem now. And these questions are aimed toward before bed, before the nighttime. And so think of yesterday, perhaps. Think about your Saturday and let these questions lead you in contemplating now. Where did my eyes linger? Where was I blind? Where was I hurt without anyone noticing? What did I learn? What differences did I notice in those who are closest to me? Whom did I neglect? Where did I neglect myself? How were my conversations? Where could I have exposed myself to the risk of something different? What did I avoid today? And from the evidence, why was I given this day?